Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show we'll catch up with Simon Stout, the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania. Tas Racing journalist Peter Staples will be along. Co-development manager of Harness Racing Kevin Nielsen joins us, along with tipster Jamie Cockshutt. Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli will tip us all the winners and look back at the week that was in greyhound racing. So stay with us for the next hour on Tas Racing Talk.
Cleaner in front, fast and free. He'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Tom on Tas Racing Talk now to head to Thoroughbred Racing, and the co-development manager Simon Stout's been kind enough to join us again today. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, thanks, Shane.
Well, the Tasmanian flag flew again at Moonee Valley at the weekend with the brilliant performance of the cleaner.
Yeah, it was a remarkable performance. You know, he ran sub a minute for his first 1,000 metres and was still able to hold them off. I think everyone was amazed at the toughness and his determination to get across the line, and has since been well spruced that he's heading towards the string. Firstly, the Dardo 10, the former Fee and Stakes over the mile away for age there back at Moonee Valley, and then possibly onto the Cox Plate, which would be a huge coup for Tasmania, for Mick Bells and his team, and for Armidale Stud, who of course bred him by the late Savoir Vivre.
Well, he's always been a very popular horse in Tasmania, right up there with Gigi's Black Flash, but now he's starting to capture the imagination with his bold front-running performances of the national audience.
Yeah, it's terrific. I know personally I fielded calls from media throughout Australia trying to track down Mick Bells this week, so he certainly has captured plenty of hearts and imaginations for just that, just how tough and genuine he is, and he gets out there, makes his own luck, and defies all challenges. He's terrific.
And jockey Noel Callow suitably impressed.
Yeah, well, I think someone made comment to me that they overheard Noel as he came back to scale. His comment was, "I don't know how he won." He certainly belied all the pressure that was put on him right throughout that race, and to still be there when it counted. I think Greg Miles, in the next race, he even identified that Jesse Bell's performance in holding them off up the straight was queen-alike. So, when you're getting another horse compared to you, just cheered by their sheer toughness, that's certainly a big vote of confidence.
Well, fingers crossed for Mick and the team going forward with the brilliant performer, the cleaner. Now, the Winter Carnival commenced at Tapita Park at Devonport last week. A couple of the contestants continued on from where they left off last year. Adam Trinder's winning run continued, and jockey Jake Bayliss in the action as well.
Yeah, they both had trebles. Jake Bayliss is certainly, he's only been down here a couple of times. He's indentured to Mick Kent back in Victoria. And Jake certainly has made a very strong impression with another treble there the other day, and teamed up for Adam with Adam Trinder for two of those. And probably most notably was the win of Big Time. Adam produced him first up over the 1650, which is a terrific training effort. And this horse hadn't won since he won the Dulcify Quality back in Sydney as a three-year-old for John O'Shea. So Adam's turned him around, and he'll be headed towards the better races throughout the summer carnival. And then Adam's even earmarked him for a jumping career, so we might even see him down at Warrnambool in May next year.
And winning doubles for Glenn Stevenson and jockey Hayley McCarthy. Hayley's really come on in leaps and bounds in recent times.
She has. She put together some very polished performances the other day, and she's grown in confidence, and And I think we've mentioned a few times, you know, she's teamed up with some strong stables, including Dylan Clark and the Blacker stable, and it's really starting to produce the goods.
What did you see as the better performances on the day?
We start off in race one, and Concrete Johnny backed up his win first up at Hobart. He preferred that form to the defeated track, and despite being a little bit tardy away, he still managed to reel off sub 46 last 800, which is very slick time. And he held that form to run sub 24 for his last 400. So he's certainly a horse that has come back in terrific style. I think Terry Evans is heading towards the three-year-old cup now, and he will certainly make his presence felt in those races. We moved on to race six, and this race was won by Adam Trinder and Jake Bayliss with Sid the Sloth, and it was a terrific performance by Jake out in front on Sid the Sloth. He rated the horse particularly well and controlled the race and the tempo up in front. But from behind him, both Super Broadband and GG's Opera came from well back and ripped off strong sectionals despite the tempo being against them. They both managed sub 48 seconds last 800 and then ran 23.49 and 23.62 for their last 400 respectively. So, they've only got to get into the right race and have it run to suit, and they won't be far off winning again. And finally, we move on to race eight. And as you mentioned, Hayley McCarthy, she did a terrific job on Tennessee Drive. This horse, he's made that progression as a lot of horses sort of struggle with. They come out of winning their maiden impressively and then get into Class 1 company and can struggle. But not this chap. He jumped straight onto the bunny. He controlled the speed. He reeled off some very slick sectionals in running 46.88 for his last 800 and backed that up with a sub-24 second last 400. So he certainly made good progression from his first start win, and he looks as though he's a horse that may progress through his grades quite successfully over the winter.
The Winter Carnival continues at Devonport this weekend with another bumper program, 10 races this week.
Yeah, 10 races, and we run the first of our Winter Torpedo series, and that being the Torpedo Sprint Prelude chain. And we've got a terrific lineup there, including horses like Minute Repeater, and Volcanic Sky is also going around. It's a race that is chock full, and we're very, very pleased with the reception that we've got.
Now, the video replays and Stride Master have been a great addition to the Taz Racing website, steering us on to winner after winner. What have you picked out for this week?
We head to race two, Shane, and this horse came off the video. Well, we mentioned him at Hobart 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that is Bling Dynasty. He was a very solid effort in his first up run when he ran second to Bideford in his first run for Brendan McShane. He had been gelded since his first preparation and had the addition of the blinkers. He heads to Devonport this week off that run, and a similar performance will see him right in the money. Then we move on to race five, and a horse we highlighted last week out of the meeting at Launceston was Mr. Ann Pranks. He managed sectionals, including a sub 37 last 600 and sub 25 last 400, which were very similar to the performance put up by Havana Stash in the open handicap on that day. And this chap goes into a class one over 1350. You think he's only got to take that form with him, and he'll be winning again. In race seven, Crystal Reef. He was mentioned in the Stewart's report last week in failing over the 1150, but he gets back to a 1350 here, and he's four from four track and distance. So, you'd expect him to find the lead again from that, and will be very hard to run down. And finally, in the last, hopefully we can send punters away on a decent note, and that'd be number three, Final RG. This bloke, he reeled off good sectionals here last week, and managing a sub 35 last 600, which seems to suggest that, despite being in a shorter race, that he's certainly come back in good form, and he's only got to take natural improvement from that first up run, and he's going to be in the money.
Well, it's certainly going to be a great day of racing. We've also got the 2013-14 awards dinner coming up.
We do that this year. That'll be held in Hobart. It's at Rest Point Casino on Friday, the 29th of August. And for tickets, you can contact Taz Racing on 6212933.
And just a reminder to grab the Edge on Tassie Racing. Head to tazracing.com.au and you'll find all the tips there from around the state, along with the video replays and Stride Master. Thanks for your efforts again today, Simon.
Thanks, Cobber. All the best.
The Winter Carnival continues at Sprayton at Devonport with the Topeda Park track in full flight now with four meetings in a row. We've had one meeting last week. Peter Staples joins us. Peter, you tipped three winners out of four in the quaddy. Can we go one better this week?
Well, hope yeah, big time tipped us out last time. I thought he might need the run. But, you know, he was a good win and probably a good story out of it too. This week, 10 races, Shane, and there's tons of horses around. 156 horses nominated for this meeting. It's so they... They put an extra couple of races on to accommodate, and early start 11:15.
Well, that'll keep Colin busy behind the binoculars. So let's have a look at this quaddie. The first leg is race number 7. It's the benchmark 72. It's over the 13:50.
Well, look, you know, on weights, Reach the Moon was a terrific run last start. It drops, I think it drops 7.5 kilos on running second to Taktoy Akdak, and it's. It's just an enormous turnaround. On pace, barrier one, and Sherry Barr, the stable apprentice, you know, proved when she rode Zavivo like an absolute veteran, and she's riding really well. It's given her a lot of confidence, and I would expect Reach the Moon to be very, very hard to beat. I'm not prepared to take it one out in the quaddie. I think Chimed In is also in well at the weights. And I think it'll be a chance trained on the track by Leon and Dean Wells, who are now a father and son training partnership, following in the mould of David and Scott Brunton. I thought Chimed In, so it'll certainly be a chance. Taktoy Akdak, a decent bit of weight. Harley McCarthy takes 3 kilos off, puts him on 57.5. Still a good enough weight. He's a big, strong horse. He can still win. And Volcanic Sky's the interesting runner. Won on a heavy track in Launceston, was looking for the softer going. And Johnny Keyes says that the way they're conditioning this track now, it's probably not as hard on horses' feet. So he's confident that Volcanic Sky will run well. So my numbers are 6, 8, 2 and 4, but I'd be having a real good go at 6 on an each-way basis.
You speak of Leon and Dean Wells. We've also got Ken and Tanya Hansen with a couple of runners in this field.
Yeah, father and daughter. And, of course, you know, I've got Reach the Moon on top. Moonless, I think, is going to need more ground. He got home okay last time. His first up run was terrific, but most stayers do run well first up. And he's probably heading towards the Cups campaign if he can measure up after winning the Hobart Guineas and being competitive in the Derby.
Second leg of the quadrilla is the sprint over 1,000 metres, the benchmark 62.
Yeah, good race this. GG Style on exposed form. You've got to have him on top. He carries 57 with a 4 kilo claim for Sherry Barr. He's an on-pace runner, drawn barrier 4. So if she can get him up there and just vying in a slot, if he can lead and hold the fence, there's plenty of speed in the race, though. Darce Hill, It's Flash L, Storm Bay Bomber, and your pony, they all go forward. But if Sherry can get him out and get him running, he'll certainly be the one to run down. Clearly the class horse of the race is number one Loaded Owners. He's now with David and Scott Brunton. He's having his first start for the stable. They were probably tempted to run him in the open handicap. He's a good horse, a really good horse. But he's got 60... What's he going to carry? 61 with Harley McCarthy's claim. He's drawn barrier 13, that's the big query. But, look, I'd be having something on GG Style, but I'd be having a sabre on Loaded Owners. He's just a class horse in the field. Probably It's Flash L, second up, will certainly run a race. And number 6, Storm Bay Bomber, courtesy of a good barrier, barrier 3... Go forward horse might even just get the 1-1 sit with Chantal Willis aboard that claims 2 kilos. So I got 3-1, 10 and 6 in the 8th.
Race 9, the Topeda Sprint Prelude. It's the open handicap, again, over the 1,000. Innocent Gamble heads the weights.
It's a super race, this. It's going to be one heck of a race. And there's plenty of horses that have got tons of speed. Mr. Fashion gets out quick. Gypsy Air down in the weights, 53.5 with the stable apprentice claiming. She'll go forward. Turbo Keys, a speedster. but it's drawn out wide, but does have plenty of toes. Second dozen trial brilliantly, and beat Iggy McCool in the trial, and you know, it's certainly going to be a chance. An innocent gamble on his best, he'd certainly give this a shake. And Iggy McCool, of course, is going to get back and get home, our top three-year-old filly from last season. So, look, it's a super race. I'm going to have second dozen on top, over number four, Minute Repeater. It'll get back and get home hard and drawn nicely. David Perez can get some cover and get him out at the right time. He's the one that's going to be belting home hard at the business end with Iggy McCool. Iggy McCool, like I said, one innocent gamble, 2, 4, 8, and 1. And if you wanted to go wider in this leg, you'd pop in the 5 and the 9, Gypsy Air and Flash El Moon, if something silly happened and they might just get the super gun run and just be able to sneak through at the business end. But it's a terrific race, 2, 4, 8, and 1, and I'd be popping in 9 and 5 if you went wide in the quaddie.
The last race of the day is over 11.50. It's the Class 2 Handicap. Osborne heads the weights at 59. It was scratched last week.
It was. The reason why it was scratched, we got to the barrier and they noticed that it had a little bit of blood tricking for one of its nostrils. Well, apparently it's got a problem. It's got very thin. It had a little burst blood vessel in its nose, and it's apparently a problem it's always had. It gets, you know, gets all head up, and it's very thin lined, and they just break. It's not like a bleed. It's internal. So it's just one of those things, but they had to, you know, err on the side of safety, and they scratched him at the barrier and just hope that he doesn't do it again for the connection, because they were pretty confident he'd go out and win. But mind, he would have had to be absolutely super to beat Concrete Johnny. But he gets his chance to certainly to atone if he can get to the barriers without bursting a blood vessel.
And ran second to Classic Outlaw last time out, and Classic Outlaw was able to win last week as well, so the form looks pretty strong.
Yeah, form is good. The form is very, very good. But there's some good form in the race. There's GG's Martini, 1-2 starts back on the track and ran home resolutely last time out, and I think got beaten by a pretty pretty handy horse in Smarty Arty, who's been overdue for a win. I think GG's Martini probably gets his chance again. You can't leave Osborne out. Downwind is the one from the Charlie Goggin and the Wellham Meeburn stable. This is a nice type. I remember they bought this one down from New South Wales, and it's one of Bruce Neal's, and it won first up, and that was in January this year, early January, and then it didn't have any luck at Launceston, and then went back to Hobart and it won again, then failed in Launceston behind Chomie, but there were excuses in a Class 2, and it was a strong Class 2. They tipped it out. It's had two trials, its latest trial behind GG Style. And I think it could be a smoky. It's drawn well in barrier 5. A 3 kilo claim for Harley McCarthy will definitely help it. I'd certainly be putting it in the quaddie. And Osborne and Finesto, certainly the other two. But I don't think there are any other chances other than 8, 4, 1 and 2. They're the numbers I've got in order. But take 1, 2, 4 and 8 in the quaddie, and I don't think we'd miss it if you're alive going into the last.
Okay, so how much do we need to spend this week to snare this quaddie at Devonport?
Well, if we take the 6 in the third leg, and we have 6, 8, 2 and 4 in the first leg, 3, 1, 10 and 6 in the second, and then 2, 4, 8, 1, 9 and 5 in the third, and I'd just be taking the 1, 4 and 8. I'd probably leave Finesto out. Just take the 1, 4 and 8. So that's 96 times 3, which is 288. Divide that by 10% is $28.80.
$28.80.
For 10%, you and I can go.
And I'll go your house in that.
There you go.
$14.40 a piece. That'll be great. What about some other races that tickle your fancy?
Well, look, I like Reach the Moon in the first leg of the quaddy, like I said, but not confident enough to take it one out. But I do think it's on weight. It looks a pretty good thing. And the other one I like is in race 4, and that's She's Dramatic. It's having its fourth start for Leon and Dean Wells. It really got home well last start and got held up at a crucial stage of the race. And if it does get... look, it's drawn out wide where they sell the pies. 18, well, there are 19 in the field and there are 5 emergencies. So it's going to be out near the outside gate, but... it only has to take the run last start into this race The extra distance is certainly going to help it. And I think we can get a little bit of good money each way on number 11, She's Dramatic, in race four.
Race four, number 11, She's Dramatic as the best. And you can pick up all Peach Tips on the tasracing.com.au website. And good luck with those selections today, Pete.
Thanks, Shane.
Gets into some clear air and starts to run home gamely, but it's not going to be any match for Pasha Cutie. And Pasha Cutie comes on to win by 4 metres.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Kevin Nielsen, the co-development manager for harness racing in Tasmania, joins us now on TAS Racing Talk. How are you, Kev?
Well, thank you, Shane.
Now, it looks as if the judgment of Rick and Naomi Hines has been right on the money.
Yeah, 2 years ago, as we've said, I think three or four times already in this segment, that they bought the mare Lifeline 2 years ago. One of her daughters, Punchline, won the equivalent of the South Australian Sire Stake final for three-year-old fillies. It's called the Southern Cross Final, a $60,000 race last Sunday afternoon at Globe Derby. And as I've said before, the two-year-old filly out of Lifeline, Lovelist, is a very handy filly in Victoria as well.
Now, Broadband doing its current racing in Victoria and finished just behind them at Melton.
Enormous run first up. Very good effort second up when it was third as well. And owned by some locals in the Hobart region, Bill Osborne, Des Peters, Lynn Burke, Phil Boxall, Brett Morby and Paige Ashwood. In again on Friday night at Melton in a $16,000 MR, race four, number four. But boy, has he bumped into a good one here. The New Zealand three-year-old, our Sky Major, known as Sky Major when he raced in New Zealand, obviously here for the Breeders' Crown. He'll take no end of beating our Sky Major in race four at Melton on Friday night.
Now, Tasmanian Pace is doing very well this season in Queensland, and another couple have been added to the list this week.
I haven't mentioned these before, Shane, so they get their mention this week. Brian, Buster Brown, Underdog and Empty Envelope, all winners in Queensland during the last week. Brian, Buster Brown, bred by Jetsonville Park Syndicate, the late John Jetson, raced in Tassie until January this year, was claimed after winning a claiming race at New Norfolk, and in 14 subsequent Queensland starts this season, the seven-year-old gelding has won twice, and the latest was at Redcliffe last Wednesday. 99 starts, 17 wins, 23 placings, just over 87,000 in stakes. Underdog, gee, Paige Ashwood's name is bobbing up everywhere recently, Shane, and it does here again. She bred Underdog along with Jamie Cockshut, and that horse proved his class by winning the $30,000 Globe Derby final for Tasbred three-year-olds. He was then relocated to New South Wales as a late four-year-old and on to Queensland in January this year. In fact, about the same time Brian Buster Brown landed there. And Underdog won at Albion Park last Friday. As I said, an eight-year-old, he's won three of his 25 Queensland starts, career record, 14 wins, 30 placings from 116 starts and over 123,000 in stakes. And a late start at a racing was Empty Envelope, bred in Victoria, didn't commence racing until he was a five-year-old, and that was with the Grant Hodges team in Tasmania. Sensational start. Eight of his first 11 he won. And he continued to race in Tassie before going to Victoria earlier this season as an eight-year-old. And he found his way to Queensland for his last seven starts, where he's registered two wins, including a victory at Redcliffe last Wednesday. 12 wins, 20 placings from 57 starts for just over 92,000 for Empty Envelope.
And another young Tasmanian doing so well on the mainland, Alex Ashwood. His winning run continued last week.
He got a permanent spot on this segment, Shane, and the two last week were Dartmoor at Charlton last Wednesday and Artok at Bendigo last Thursday. And the concession driver premiership in Victoria now, of course, Josh Duggan and Alex Ashwood both figure in that. Jason Lee leads with 62, Hayden Gray 52, Josh Duggan third with 46, Zach Phillips 44, Joshua Aiken 43, Rebecca Bartley 38, and Alex Ashwood is closing the gap on those in about fifth or sixth place. He's now got 36 winners.
And it's going to be another exciting night this week at Geelong on Wednesday.
There's no doubt that Tasmania will have its best ever representation in the Breeders' Crown, and those numbers may increase tonight at Geelong, where there are repper charges for the two-year-old colts and geldings, and about the first seven from each repper charge will go through to the semi-finals next week. And Dick Eves has got one man's pass entered tonight, and of course that was bred by Michael and Carol Lefevre up at Pyangana. And it's now owned by Lloyd and Judy Wish-Wilson. They also own the star filly Birinya. But one man's pass will be attempting to qualify for the semi-finals. And he's number five in race seven, I think it is, Shane. Yes, it is indeed. And in the same race, Birdie Mack, of the close Tasmanian connection through breeding out of Pixel Perfect, He's drawn inside the second line in Barrier 8. And, of course, Bossen Hagen, trained by Christian Salter, trained and driven by that gentleman, has already qualified for the semi-finals on Saturday week after winning his Tassie Hurt at Launceston in mid-July.
And there's also some Tassie action at Kilmore on Thursday.
Going to hand it to Brad Walters the way he's got Le Premier racing, and he sent him to Victoria to the Andy Gath stable. Last time Le Premier was a mere 6 metres away from Resurgent Spirit, and he was arguably the run of the race. So he looks well placed in a CO at Kilmore, but the horse that ran second in the Tasmanian Derby, Lake Eyre, has drawn inside Le Premier. Otherwise, he looked to be a reasonable bet tomorrow night at Kilmore, Le Premier. But again, great effort by Brad Walters, and we'll see how Andy Gath goes with this horse in Victoria. I think it's only going to be a short campaign in Victoria, probably aiming to win the Vic Bred bonus, the $7,000 Vic Bred bonus with this horse.
And a couple of runners at Melton on Friday.
Already mentioned Broadband, and Remember Joe, trying to make it 2 from 2 at Melton, a very impressive win first up in mid-July. And he's in race 6, a $16,500 MO and better standing start. He's off 10 metres. The next Tasmanian, Turnpike Cruiser, is number 10 in the same race.
Michael Law will be keeping a close eye on the meeting at Menangle at the weekend.
Yeah, of course, he's a former trainer of Turnpike Cruiser, and he's got two that used to be in his barn racing at Menangle on Saturday night. And they are Tony Macaroni, race 1, number 2. Really good second on the 7th of June. Had a bit of a break since then, but his last start at Menangle was a beauty. And Russell Murray, race 7, number 8, will be having his first Menangle start. Interesting to note that he's with the boom trainer up there, Shane Tritton, who's got an enormous strike rate. So all eyes Saturday night at Menangle on Tony Macaroni in race 1 and Russell Murray in race 7.
And a little further up the road also, three runners at Albion Park.
Yeah, Underdog goes round again, race 1, number 12. We've got Big Z, race 4, number 6. Big Z just failed to win last Saturday night at Redcliffe, ran second. And Creola Wizard goes round again, he's race 5, number 6, and an $8,000 MO.
And what about on the local scene, Kev? 11 races in Launceston.
Yes, we had a great start to the August racing with another 11-race card. And the highlight is the appearance of Resurgent Spirit in the Barry Rattray stable as it has its final run before heading to Victoria for the Breeders' Crown semi-final Saturday week at Ballarat. The horse was entered for a 3-4 class race. That was deleted due to insufficient acceptors, and Barry's chosen to put this horse out of class in the C5 to C9. And looking through that field, Shane, I've made the comment to a couple of people already. There's probably 7 horses in that field that could go to Melton, and you'd almost bank on them winning a race at Melton in their first 3 starts. This would be as strong a C5 to C9, that class just below open class, that I've seen in Tasmania. And Resurgent Spirit will have to come out of Barrier 4, but he's got to confront the likes of Rykoff Lees, Clamorous, Mellow Lynn, Diva's Delight. All of those are 4-year-olds, and all of those are destined for bigger places than Tasmania, I think, in the near future. And you've got the great mare, Spitfire Rose, who's up to a C8 mark now, and also Talk About Dexter, who just continues to improve every class. It will be the highlight of the night at Launceston on Sunday night, race 6.
Well, the talent and the depth of harness racing in Tasmania growing all the time, and we look forward to what is promising to be another big week. Thanks for your time today, Kev.
My pleasure, Shane.
Tas Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Harness racing in Launceston on Sunday night, a bumper 11 race card to tip us all the winners. It's Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane.
Confidence level pretty high heading into the weekend?
Oh, there's a couple of races that I'm keen on, but it's other than that, it's some very tough races, to be honest, mate.
Okay, a little bit of value there, maybe. So, race number 5, it's the Cliff Robbins Memorial. It's the first leg.
Yeah, we see the very promising days like this go around. Very promising 2-year-old pretty days like this. Drawn the back row, but, I think she'll be too good for these. But there's a much-improved run last week by Fundamentalist. Has always shown a bit of ability and finally put it all together last when Flash Hammer ran second. Very good run. Draws well tonight, so if having to find the lead, we'll give days like this to run down. Tizzy Germain was impressive winning at Hobart last week, but we'll find this a bit harder from inside the back row, but has to be a chance. As will a stablemate, is that you, Jimmy, who's drawn to get a good run through. Busted, Panda Carrouda and Cemento Rapido got a chance for the minor first 4 places, mate. But I'm happy to go with 10 days like this from 2 Fundamentalists. 8.90 is Jermaine. It's that you, Jimmy, for third and fourth, mate.
Okay, well, in the second leg, it's race number 6, 10 to go around here. And we've got a couple of stars engaged here, headed by Resurgent Spirit.
It's a cracker of a race, to be honest. The C5, C9, so horses like Resurgent Spirit, you know, he's a three-year-old taking on some very seasoned horses, some C9 paces. Like maybe Doc's been going around free-for-all company for the last 18 months, so it's going to be a big test for Resurgent Spirit. And as you're probably aware of it, it's been transferred to leading trainer Barry Rattray from about 3 weeks ago, so it's going to be interesting to see how he goes. But in a very open race, I like Clamorous. It's drawn well. Hopefully he'll be a bit closer than he was last start when he was just too far back, but he's drawn well tonight, so happy to go three Clamorous. Mellow Lynn's been, you know, just a little bit below his best of late. 3 months ago, as we know, he just raced through his classes and we thought, geez, how good is this horse going to be? But he's just had a few issues. So he's going to be a danger. Deeves Delight's running, dropping back from running third behind Patrick Curdy and Devendra in the free-for-all last week. Although drawn seven, is going to be a big danger. Spitfire Rose has been absolutely airborne since resuming from a break. And then you go to Resurgent Spirits. He's 3 year old taking on some very seasoned performers. So he's going to have to be at the top of his game to win this race. Like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes first up at Barry. Then you've got Rycob Lees, and talk about Dexter. He's got hopes that, you know, good each way odds, but I'm happy to go three Clamorous from six Mellow Lynn, seven Deeps Delight, with eight Spitfire Rose round fourth, and a big watch on Resurgent Spirit.
Race number 7 is the third leg. We've got a couple of last start winners, Like It Is for Chris Viney, Better Bolt going around for Taylor Ford, and also Mark My Day for Paul Ashwood, and Jeff's Crossing for Ricky Duggan. So four last start winners engaged.
Yeah, it's a very open race, race 7. As you said, you know, Jeff's Crossing is very good to me when he got up last week, or fortnight ago, very good odds. Yeah, God bless him. But there's also always had a bit of a rap on Party Boy Glenwood. He drops in grade. He's drawn barrier 7, but he was very unlucky last start. He was coming 3 and 4 wide, then he got pushed 5 wide, got caught behind a horse in front of him, dragged him back, and still hit the line strongly. As long as he's put into the race tonight, I reckon he's going to be very hard to beat. And Johnny Walters is driving, you know, very well at the moment. These days he's a handy type resuming. Before he went for a break, he ran a couple of good seconds behind the star Tassie Philly Barinha. So if he's anywhere near right, he's going to be very hard to beat. Then you've got Mapmore Day, who draws to get a good run through, he's going to be a danger. You've got horses like Wipe the Smile, or Like It Is, Punt Road Disco, Ramfield Steelskin all around the mark, and like you said, Better Bolt and Just Crossing, both last start winners, would have a chance for the right run. Very open race. But I'm happy to go 7 Party Boy Glenwood from 6 these days, 9 Make My Day, and 1 Wipe the Smile, mate.
Finally, the quaddy, it's over the 2200. Robin Schabotsky's come up with the pole position, but you steered us on to Von SK last week. It did the job. Rowan Hillier taking the drive, and Chirac got up at double each way odds.
Yeah, no, not really. It's another very open race. But just from the draw, Robin Schabotsky's going to get every chance. He batted away well last start when he ran second behind Something Air, who's he's also got a share and he's very smart. I've got a big opinion of him. And she's drawn a lead tonight, so if she's able to hold up, you know, she's going to take a lot of beating. But like you mentioned, there's a lot of form coming into this race. Like Fon SK was a good winner, found the lead and won well, but this is another step up again tonight. And Chirac, he finally got a bit of luck and won like the horse I've always thought he was. Then you've got a first starter from the main man called One More Laugh, who's a well-bred youngster. He's had a win over in Melbourne, and he's just having his first start for Brett Zaffray, so he's got to be kept very safe. You got an Imnai Subingus, who was working the race well and galloped at a crucial stage last week. Then you got another Metro Jazzy Jane, exotic guy, who can, you know, fill a place without surprising. But if you go 1 Robin Schabotsky, just on the basis, I think she'll lead, Shane. 3 One More Laugh, 10 Fon SK, and Chirac, second and third, mate. But if Chirac has any luck, you know, he's the best horse in the race, I think, Chirac, but that's just where he gets the luck. He needs the luck to win, but keen on Robert Schabotsky on top, mate.
So how do we construct a quadrilla with the idea of winning a few dollars?
As you're aware of, it's very open the last 3 legs. Firstly, you can take days like this one out. Second leg will go numbers 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Third leg will go 1, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. The last leg will go numbers 1, 3, 10, and 11. $42 flexi, mate, will give you 25% of the dividend.
Okay, 25% there. Any other races that tickle your fancy this week?
In race 1, I like Oliver's Mate. He's a good runny a fortnight ago at Launceston. He's trapped 3 wide for you know, the last probably 1,200 and hit the line strongly, you know, battled away well, and this is no harder. He's drawn to get a better run through tonight, so I think he's a good each-way gambler in the first. I think Something Air win race two, drawn barrier two, he should work the lead and he'll prove too good. Then you've got Days Like This in race five, looks a very good bet. Couple of each-way bets. Clamorous in race six should be about around about the $7 or $8 mark, even though Rising in Class has got a good hope. As does Party Boy Glenwood in race seven. There's a couple of roughies. Race six, number nine, Talk About Dexter. He'll go around at probably $25 tonight, and it's a pace he's on, and he's close enough, mate. He can finish very strongly, so he'd be a hope. And a Nimnai Savingas in race eight, number seven. He's a hope of good each way odds. In race nine's a very good race. There's three leading chances in the race. Really feisty. No undies Sunday. That's very strange, mate. And a boy called Sue. But Keen on really feisty. He's been very good at its two runs for heaps Sipka, and I think she can win tonight at, you know, around about the $4 mark, so I'm sure No undies Sunday will start favourite. And even the claim is a pretty open race. You've got Shanghai Night, which was a good winner last week, but goes back to 10 metres tonight and sustained. You've got Spot 9, who, you know, last season won the Hobart Pacing Cup off 10 metres, and now he's in a claimer off the front row. So if he pinned your lead, he'll take plenty of running down. Got Tissue Tuta, Baby Shoes, a chance, and Final Champion was claimed last week and is now in the stable of Bignol, so you have to be hope as well. And to finish off tonight, we've got the discretionary for the open class horses. Davinci gets his chance to get back into the winners list tonight in the absence of Patrick Curdy, so I think he'll win. Bigger and better Max's stablemate would be a huge danger, especially if he was able to work the lead. He'd give Davinci something to chase. And Al Mills Dream's another one that'll appreciate the absence of Patrick Curdy, and with the right run, I'm sure he'll be hitting the line strongly. And that's about it, mate, for this Sunday night.
Well, you're giving us plenty of winners there, potentially. Plenty for our listeners to invest a shackle or two on. And we thank you for your time today, Jamie. And, of course, all your tips can be found on the tasracing.com.au website.
Much appreciated, mate.
In the first heat of the Sprint Championship, he's six in front and going further ahead. Buckle Up Wes is going to blitz them by, oh, down to the post. He's won it by 13 lengths.
Now on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Heat night of the State Sprint Championship in Launceston on Monday night. It was a great night of racing. And to tell us all about the heats, it's Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Now, Buckle Up Wes got the ball rolling in heat number one. It was a super win.
Yes, he was clearly the quickest of the three heats, running 29.59. And as we know, he has won there in the 29.30s. Look, he loves every track, but he loves Launceston probably as much as any track he's ever raced on. Clearly the one to beat, come up with a reasonable draw in the final. Despicable Ben, first run at that level for the Purcells was just terrific. You look at the margin, he'll beat a long way, but geez, run was good. But yeah, Buckle Up Wes will be odds on in the state final.
10.5 lengths the winning margin. There was a neck between Despicable Ben and Dominator Girl, but those splits 5.01, that puts him a length in front when you look at the other heats. He doesn't really appear to ping out. He just comes out with that burst of speed and just drives to the lead, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, but he can ping out, but basically if they leave him alone for 5 yards, that's where the big burst comes in. The Dominator Girl splits were very good too. She was with him at the first split. She's going terrific at the moment.
Black Rip returned to his Launceston Cup Series form in heat number two.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did really. He got the job done. 30.28 was below what he can run. He led every step of the way, and no disrespect, but Classic Spence and Little Mistake would be two of the rank outsiders in the series, and by gee, they kept him busy the last 100 metres. Look, Black Rip's drawn outside Buckle Up Wes in the final. Could be a bit of a nuisance because there's not many safer beginners with early speed around like Black Rip, but realistically, he wouldn't win the final on that.
He's won 6 out of 8 on the track. His time of 30.28 was by far the slowest of the three heats. And then in the final heat, it was Her Highness. She just goes to a different level every week for Keith Nichols, and she did it again on Monday.
Yeah, look, she's a wonderful bitch. She's had a couple of good draws at Launceston lately with the box one in the Nelson Cup final and then box one in the heat on Monday night, and she had the race under control from the first turn. She didn't jump in front, but she bored through and got to the lead. Poor old Helia Bolt, he ran third. There's not an unluckier dog around with box draws in races that count than Helia Bolt. Just can't draw a box. He got into all sorts of trouble, was brave running third. Haliski ran out of his socks to run second. His run was just terrific. Look, even though Her Highness has drawn one in the final, and that puts her in the mix, obviously, you can't discount any dog drawn one, I still think Heliobolt's the main danger to the great Buckle Up Wes, because, look, two out, there is very, very little between them. It's just that Heliobolt's not quite as clever early.
Okay, so the box draw, we've got Her Highness in one, Classic Spence two, Buckle Up Wes three, Black Rip four, Despicable Ben in five, Heliobolt six, so the luck hasn't changed there, seven, Dominator Girl, and number eight, Heliski. Have you got an early tip for us?
Oh, yeah, I'll go.
Be
with
courageous.
I'll go with the Tide and go with Buckle Up Wes, but look, I'm definitely not discounting Heliobolt. He's a wonderful dog.
Okay, and then we've got the distance final coming up, also a one-off race, the final. Painter Dotty returned to Tassie in great form and certainly ran up to that with a tremendous win in the distance.
Yeah, clever piece of training by Mick Stringer to send her to Sydney. She had four runs over the distance up there in the last month or so for three wins and a placing. Showed that by coming back here and jumping in front. Look, she hasn't got a lot on a couple of the others in it, other than she's just in really top form at the moment. She hasn't got an inch on Dominic's Dove, except Dominic's Dove needs a bit of luck in running because she's not so smart early. Pedro's Vineyard, you look at her career record, two out of way too many, but her run in the heat, well, it wasn't a heat, it was just a free-for-all on Monday night, was the best beaten run of the week. Pedro's Vineyard. Don't discount her running a place next week at big odds. But look, again, you've got to go with Painted Dotty.
Well, Pedro's Vineyard must have been 15 to 20 off the leader going down the back.
And flattened on the first turn. Like, it was just an incredible run. The one thing about her is she can stay all day. But look, the brilliance is with Painted Dotty and the power is with Dominic's Dove. And I do think one of those two will represent Tasmania.
Now, late in the night, we had Despicable Matt and Urana Galore come out and run some very quick times, comparable with the heats of the Sprint Championship.
Yeah, Despicable Matt had no luck the week before, and, you know, even though he ran brilliantly, but this week he got a clear run, ran 30.02. Look, Urana Galore's been a top-grade dog at Hobart for ages. He doesn't race much at Launceston, and it was no shock that he ran 29.93. The shock was Golden Sage running so badly off box one. But, you know, he missed it, got tightened on the first turn. But, gee, Urana Galore's been a terrific dog for Jared Davies because he came here from Victoria with modest form, to say the least.
Well, really turned it around, that's for sure. And racing in Hobart on Thursday, Kilty's Flyer started the night off well for Brendan Browning with a top win in the first.
Yep, he's been promising to win at Hobart and without getting the job done. But on Thursday night he did, and it was an overdue win and very good to see.
And Superficial in the second finished strongly.
Gee, didn't it finish strongly? And, like, it was a wet, horrible, dirty night. And Maddie's Intention, having its first run here for Rod Ransley, looked like it had a, you know, commanding match-winning lead. But when they straightened up, Superficial really jumped into another gear, and she might be pretty smart.
Enfield Mask has run into Shannon and Betty a couple of times and hasn't finished too far away. Finally got an ounce of luck.
Yep, look, she was out of juvenile at the end of July, and as the 31st of July, you'd have to say that's a timely piece of training by Graham Barber to get her to win a juvenile. She's pretty strong.
Part-time Pete, always been an interesting runner, beginning a little better and finishing strongly as always as a rule, and made it two wins from its last four starts.
Yeah, look, he's just a tough dog that goes around very, very often. He's had a lot of starts. Was no shock that he won. It was probably a pretty big shock that he led, because I don't think he's done that in about 80 starts. But he's just a good, tough dog. Missed somebody, ran her normal, very honest race in running second.
Shanlon Betty, three in a row.
Terrific little bitch. She jumped in front on the wet conditions. The odds on favourite Oxley Rimfire nearly ran over the top of another dog 10 yards after the start and was tailed off. Good to see there was nothing wrong because he came out and won at Devonport. But Shanlon Betty for Graham Moat, just a real good little tradesman.
And Captain Lane in race number six, a first starter for Gary Johnson.
First start in Hobart, anyway. He ran a third at Devonport 2 days before. Look, that was a pretty modest contest, but to win at your first start on any track in 26.67 is probably a sign of things to come.
Hell yeah, Bolt. We mentioned its luckless run on Monday night, but prior to that, in Hobart Thursday, a great win in the Silver Trophy.
He's a champion. He's just a champion dog. He doesn't quite get the accolades at the moment because we've got a bigger champion in Buckle Up Wes, but he's a wonderful dog. He ran great time on a dirty night, and he'll win another very big race before long, Heliobolt.
And another good victory for Gary Johnson Kennel with Get Up Alvin in the eighth.
Yeah, he had a good night, Gary, because he won with that. Doesn't win very often, Get Up Alvin, but again, he met a pretty modest contest. He got the job done.
Brendan Purcell looks like he's got a smart one on his hands with Cool Puppy.
Yeah, pretty good dog, isn't he? It's amazing. He had 5 stars in Victoria last year for a win and 2 placings. Off the scene for 6 or 7 months, obviously had a serious injury. Ran a brilliant Stewards trial, then a brilliant win last week, and this week, 25.87. Put that into perspective, Helia Bolt ran 25.94. You can't get too carried away until you see dogs under pressure, but at start number 7, I'd be willing to say Cool Puppy has got group ability, but whether he's a group dog, there's a lot of things he's got to do right before that happens.
And how many times have we seen in the last couple of years Brendan Purcell put a leg on them when they come to Tassie?
He does, and I think this is the best dog he's had to put a leg on. This is a really, really serious dog.
Okay, so there's a good rap for it going forward. Cool Puppy, Molly Munro for Keith Nichols. What a run Keith's had of late.
Yes, he's doing everything right. Just a great trainer. I mean, him and Keith and Joan, they've been in dogs since Moses was in short pants. Sorry, Joan. And they've never, ever had a better kennel in all of my time in dogs than they've had in the last 3 years. So they reckon wine gets better with age. Molly Munro's a good little bitch, good beginner, perfect manners, not strong enough to be a top-grade bitch, but she's pretty smart.
Saw Keith walk off the track the other day. He's moving a lot better than you and I, Greg, I can tell you that. I'd hate to think how many years he's got on us, and I reckon Keith would hate to think about it too, but moving beautifully at the minute. And then in race number 11, Eileen Thomas, another winner for the kennel.
Well, he's got 23 years on me, I'll give you the tip, and he's moving a lot better. Lake Hylia, perfect manners, and always runs a good race if she doesn't win. So she's a dog that people should follow because she's always in the contest.
Devonport on Tuesday. Tay's Intention started the day off well for punters for Rod Ransley.
Look, he just ran up to his great run the week before. He ran the second fastest time of the day, running second the week before behind Bruni Venture. No Bruni Venture in that race this week. He beat a couple of very smart ones, though, in Code Black and a newcomer called Jamela Nova. And Tay's Intention is headed towards top grade.
Devonport, race number 2, Silver Minx, heavily back late for Gary Johnson.
Yep, jumped in front the week before on debut and got checked. Jumped in front this week and she was always a mile in front and with manners like that, will be winning a game.
Irish Gift made it 5 from 11 for Russell Watts.
Yeah, he's just a good, honest dog. Russell's got better dogs than Irish Gift, but he's a tough dog. He can be in the contest early and he'll probably run 600 metres.
Love to know how many times, and you could probably tell me with a bit of notice, Greg, how many times King Nitro and Red Nitro have won on the same day, but it was another winning double for the duo and John Carr and Steve Hutt.
Yeah, look, there's very, very little between King Nitro and Red Nitro. I still think Red Nitro is probably a tad better. They ran 25.66 and 25.53, which is just on fire. King Nitro, the only difference between them, King Nitro is a black dog that runs in the middle of the track, and Red Nitro is a red brindle dog that runs hard on the rail. But Steve Hutt's got those two absolutely firing.
Yeah, two great wins there. And Oxley Rimfire, who blitzed them at its first run at Devonport, running 25.39. Had to work harder this week, but the win was just as impressive.
Yes, he's had 2 runs at Hobart and been in big trouble both times and run last. 2 runs at Devonport, 1 where he led and ran 25.39. And then this week, as you said, worked a lot harder. I thought the win was terrific, and Eric Haldane's got a very, very smart dog in his hands.
Winkley Rose was having her 10th start on the track. Victory number 1 for Patricia Howard.
Yes, very strange dog. She jumps in front 1 in 5 or 6, and when she does, she looks like an invitation dog. And when she doesn't jump in front, she spends the rest of the race running into things. I couldn't have found her on Tuesday, but she is quite talented when she gets it right.
Well, another red runner was successful in the next, Winsome Tommy.
Yeah, look, he's just a good honest dog for Patrick Ryan. He has been racing against pretty good dogs. He had to chase down Mighty Sirius, who got away with a bit of a lead, but yeah, look, he wins in his turn, Winsome Tommy, and he's got more turns coming.
A couple of millionaires were in the action in the last 2 races, Race 9 and Race 10, Gree and Gary Fay.
Yeah, only in their dreams, I can tell you, Shane. yeah, look, they're litter brothers. They're both talented dogs. Rip and Tear has been a revelation because he's not on the same planet as Bruni Venture when you see them trial. But he loves racing. He's a good beginner, and he ran down the early leader to score in 26.02. Bruni Venture, on the other hand, he led well, he didn't lead all the way. Julia Flies went with him initially, but he got the job done in the end in 25.72. He is a very good dog.
Yeah, more wins to come for those two. Your selections for the sprint and the distance, Painted Dotty in the distance, and not surprisingly, Buckle Up Wiz in the sprint. We'll put the acid test on you now for a black booker to follow.
Now I'm very confident of this one. Right. David Booth had a first starter at Devonport on Tuesday in race one called Jamella Nova. Ran into Tay's Intention and Code Black, and if that wasn't hard enough task, it got on the outside of the wide-running Antivist in the run, and the rest of them went 452 metres. She went 462 metres and still ran third. She'll be winning pretty soon.
OK, Jamella Nova, the greyhound to follow. Thanks for your time today, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
5-4-3-2. A huge week of greyhound racing coming up around Tasmania, with, of course, the National Sprint and Distance Championships in Launceston on Monday night. But what we need to do is get some cash for that by finding some winners for Hobart on Thursday. And the man that we rely on for that is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
Now, again, last week, 2 out of 3 in the specials department and 2 out of 3 in the quaddies. What's happening?
Well, Shane, we can only try our best, but at least the punters are showing a small profit. That's the main thing.
Well, let's make another profit this week. The first leg of the quadrilla in Hobart on Thursday is race number 5.
Shane, I went with number 5, Mason Pines. He's run a few runs at Launceston have been quite good. He can be a little bit tardy out of the boxes, but I just think his class will nearly hold him instead for this race. 5 on top. 6, Tommy Pinch. Very good winner at Devonport last week. He zoomed. He went 26.29. The track wasn't overly quick. It was very wet. So I disregard the time. I put him in for second, Tommy Pinch. 4, JD Bear. Raced at Devonport on Tuesday. Didn't mind its run. Was a bit tardy out. Got into a bit of trouble. Ran on very strongly. Thought it had some chance. And I put in number 1, Lashing Phil. This dog's got written all over me, but back me when it gets over the 600. It'll be slow out, rail, and be very, very strong late. 5, 6, 4, and 1.
What do you like in the invitation, race 6?
My old favourite, Senor Slammer, I'm tipping number 5. Look, Devonport on Tuesday had no luck at all. He got checked after the start. He finished well back. Look, I can't find an absolute genuine and lot of early speed here. He's a chance he might zoom to the lead. 3, Hannah Bowden's going very, very good at the moment. Actually, I put in, Varco for second, Hannah Bowden for third, and I put in number 1, Shanlon Vapor for fourth. 5, 4, 3, 1.
Race number 7, it's the grade 4, Origin Decider, going for 4 straight.
Yeah, Flying Shane, recorded 26.15 winning here at its last start, and if it runs 26.15, I'll tell the listeners that it will be winning this race if it runs 26.15. 6 on top, 5, Hard as Nails. Now, she's the likely leader in the race. She's going quite good, and being a leader, I've got to put her in for second. 4, I put in for third, Spring Fall. Look, it's just been grinding of late. It's lost all its speed, but it's grinding away. It'll be there at the finish. And a dog that I'm going to throw in all my multiples is a dog called Dark Gladiator. Had no luck at all behind Cool Puppy last week. Wants the fence. Slow out, desperate railer, got a chance. 6, 5, 4, and 3.
And in the last leg, Silver Minx was backed off the map late at Devonport. Produced the goods. Were you part of that move?
I had something on a chain, yeah. Last week I thought it went good, even though it ran 8th at its debut. It looked one of the leaders, and as you know, off this program, I love backing a leader, and I'm guilty of having something on it. Look, I've got to put it on top. I don't know if it's been there. But look, it's got good habits, good speed, 25.79 Tuesday. I can't see why it can't be very hard to beat again. I do think the main danger is number 7, Blue Fireball. It's had one start at Hobart for a second, and it ran second to Underclass a Hero. Now, that's probably very good form for a race like this. I think one of the two will win. 1 and 7. 4, Trudels is always thereabouts, and look, it's been handy in the trifecta departments of late, running seconds and thirds. And I can't see why I can't do the same again. Number 6, Cut 'Em Down's got some place chance. 1, 7, 4, 6.
Rick's quadrilla for Hobart. First leg, 5, 6, 4, 1. The second leg, 5, 4, 3, and 1. Third leg, 6, 5, 4, 3. Last leg, 1, 7, 4, and 6. Is your best amongst the quaddie legs?
No, Shane, I'm going very late. After we get the quaddie, we have to wait till the last. I don't think he'll be any flash odds. I reckon he'll be around the $2.20, $2.30 mark, and I'm referring to number 6, Underclass Hero. Now, he can be a little bit tardy out. His run behind Rockville was very, very good. I just can't find any depth in this race, Shane. I just think that if he posses in the first four or five early, finds the fence, and he's very strong. He's a very, very good galloper. I just think he just needs a tad of luck and he'll win. Race 11, number 6, Underclass Hero.
Underclass Hero for Hobart. Now, Launceston on Monday. It's a great program, the Sprint and Distance Championship for the state final as part of the Quaddie Leagues. The first league is race number 5. We've got a despicable greyhound going around.
Yeah, I'm actually taken with them, Shane. Brendan Purcell was a very, very good trainer, and Despicable Matt ran 30.02 last week, leading all the way. He noted off the videos from box 6, all he wanted to do was crash to the fence, but he began so well. He found the rail and he was too good. I've put him on top. I thought the chance failed on number 3. You must remember he made the Launceston Cup this year. He's dropping a lot in class. I've got him a chance. 1 Mason Pine's got a very good draw, and 2 Snoring Nora. She seems to reserve her best form for Launceston. 5, 3, 1, and 2.
In last week's distance race, you tipped as Painted Dotty, and it duly performed up to your standards. And you potted Dominic Stubbs, said it couldn't win, and it finished the race just a few minutes ago. But they clash again in the distance final coming on Monday.
Shana, I've gone with Painted Dotty. She's got good habits. She'll be up near the lead. She's very strong. I reckon it was a sensational move by Mick Stringer to send her to Sydney and race while there was no staying races here. I think on just sheer fitness and ability, I think she'll win Painted Dotty. 4, Dominic Stove. He had no luck at all last week. As you said, I was potting him. He had no luck in the run. I think he's a good danger this week. 2, Pedro's Vineyard. Now, it was spotted coming from a mile back last week to run second behind Painted Dotty. Drawn closer to the fence this week, I'll be throwing it at all my multiples. And number 6, Cosmic Fire. I thought it's run third behind Painted Dotty. It was when having its first run over the 700 was quite good. Be a bit fitter. Thought it had a place chance. 8, 4, 2, and 6.
8, 4, 2, 6. Then we move to the third leg. Oscar Ralph going for 3 in a row.
Shane, I can't see why he can't really win again. Now, the interesting fact in this race is there's an absolute deluge of early speed. He'll sail down the outside. He's beginning a lot better. I think he'll camp third or fourth, and I just think that he'll be too strong for him, Oscar Ralph. 8 on top. I put in number 1, Little Miss Take. Now, she might punch through and hold the lead, and if that's the case, she's got a chance. And her run last week behind Black Rip was A-OK. I'm giving her a chance, number 1, Little Miss Take. I put in 5, Callaway Ernie. Just Forget It, 7th last week behind Black Rip. Was slow out, was never in the race. We know he's a great dog, and he does go good at Launceston. And number 6, Class Barbie. Now, this little bitch had no luck at all behind Black Rip. She's flying at the moment. I'm going to throw in everything that I play. 8, 1, 5, and 6.
And the Sprint Championship is the final leg. I'm tipping you're going with the champ.
I'm going with him, Shane, but I'll tell the listeners I can't take the $1.30 or $1.40 that's going to be on offer for him. He was $1.50 last week, and he looked an absolute moral fixed odds. I didn't take it. I'm not into the shorts, but look, he probably wins. Am I true to say that he actually still goes to Western Australia if he gets beaten because he's the number 1 seeded greyhound in Australia? Do you know, Shane?
Oh, now you pulled it out of left field, but the answer to that would more than likely be yes, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that if he doesn't win on Monday night, that he still goes to Western Australia as the number 1 seeded dog after Kibo was never made the state final in Victoria. So look, 3 on top. 1, Her Highness has got the draw. She's going very, very good at the moment. You can't knock winning form. 5, I put in for 3rd, Despicable Ben. Now, I've got a wrap and a half on this dog. I think he's a very, very good pup in the making. He had no luck at all last week behind Buckle Up Wes. He's got to be in the mix. And number 6, Hellier Bolt. Now, he got chunted wide at the first turn. He made up a lot of ground to run 3rd behind Her Highness. 3, 1, 5, and 6 in this final.
And Buckle Up Wes is the wild card entry, and that has been confirmed. So it only takes a few seconds, so when you want to know something, Rick, we jump.
Beautiful.
No risk about that. So the wild card entry is Buckle Up Wes. So that makes that quaddy for Launceston in the first leg, 5, 3, 1, 2. Second leg, 8, 4, 2, 6. Third leg, 8, 1, 5, 6. Last leg, 3, 1, 5, 6. So plenty of 5 and 6s in there. What about a best bet for Launceston?
Shane, race 9, number 1, Winsome Tommy. Look, I just think that he's got the box 1. He punched through. think he might settle second to Hard as Nails in the run. I just think he'd be too good for him. Race 9, number 1, Winsome Tommy.
Then we head to Devonport on Tuesday. Origin Decider going for 4 in a row in the first leg.
Can't see why it can't win again, Shane. I've put it on top. 7 on top, Origin Decider. Winburn Rush is returning from Victoria and it's got a good chance, number 4. 3, Chinchiro, a dog that's been racing in Melbourne and New South Wales. Looked on the internet, looked at runs and has some ability, he's got a chance. And I put in number 2, Camdale Luke. Didn't mind its last run at Devonport. 7, 4, 3 and 2.
Now in the second leg, you're stuck with Senor Slammer in Hobart. You're sticking fast here in the second leg.
I'm going with him, Shane, because of the draw and he might zoom down the outside. He's had plenty of racing, but he seems to be backing up very well. 8 on top. 1, Hannah Bowden's got a very, very good draw and it'll be very hard to beat, number 1. 7, Roxy Rhythm will be improved with its run at Launceston recently. And I put in number 6, Whitford Mist. Now, amazingly, when I did the video replays, it was slow out in Devonport last Tuesday. Now, that's an amazing little feat because she's normally a brilliant beginner and she was never in the race. 8, 1, 7 and 6.
Everybody's pretty impressed with Cool Puppy. It goes around in the third leg.
Yeah, Shane, I think it'll be quite short. It's awesome win in Hobart last Thursday. Ran the 25.80-odd last week. I think it'll be winning, but it'll be short. 1, Crystal Innings will give it what for early. It's got very good early speed. It's got to be clear second pick. Number 6, Underground's got to be third pick. And number 4, Sir Buddy, I think is a rough chance for all multiples. 7, 1, 6 and 4.
Race number 8, Aroma Pachet's come up with a red rug.
Can't see why it can't win, Shane, off the red box. It's going good at the moment. This is a massive drop in class for it. It's been racing in the sprints heats. I just think from box 1, it's the way to go. 8, Great Tailors will appreciate dropping back to a grade 4 after being racing an invitation class. 3, Callaway George is resuming from a bit of a break. And 7, Enfield Flame. Look, this dog's been spotted coming home very well of late. It's got a chance. 1, 8, 3 and 7.
Devonport Quadrilla, first leg 7, 4, 3, 2. Second leg 8, 1, 7, 6. In the third leg, we're going 7, 1, 6 and 4. And in the last leg, 1, 8, 3 and 7, which just leaves us with the best bet for Devonport.
Early, Shane. Race 3, number 1, High Caution. Can't find a lot of speed in the race. Think it'll hold up. Be very strong at the finish. Race 3, number 1, High Caution, a good thing.
So surely it's this week for the three specials. Hobart, Race 11, number 6, Underclass Hero. Launceston, Race 9, number 1, Winsome Tommy. And Devonport, Race 3, number 1, High Caution. Good luck with those selections, Rick.
Thanks, Shane.
That takes us away for another week of Taz Racing Talk. Hope you've enjoyed the program and jotted down all those coming winners. And for all other information on Tasmanian racing, just head to tazracing.com.au. Whether it be greyhound racing, harness or thoroughbred action, all the information is there for you to get the edge on Tassie racing. Look forward to your company again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.